Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's message. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We open our hearts and minds for revelation from heaven. Words, ideas, and insights and concepts into the kingdom of God and living the life of faith. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. We have a very, very special guest with us today. Dr. Avery Jackson, Chief Executive Officer and Medical Director of Michigan Neurosurgical Institute. Amen. Would you welcome Dr. Avery Jackson to this broadcast today?
Thank you so much for the
question. All of you, I know all of you, and just about everybody, anybody that knows anything about the Believer's Voice Victory Network or been walking and living by faith any length of time at all, are very acquainted with Bishop Keith Butler. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Well, Dr. Avery and his family, and I'd like for you to talk about this some today.
Yes, sir.
And give us some of your background. His parents moved into Bishop's church when he was 8 years old. So you talk about somebody being brought up in the household of faith. He's like my grandson. He said, I thought our house was the household of faith. Jeremy, praise God. Dr. Avery, thank you for coming, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Cole.
The first time I met you, well, I heard you speak before I got a chance to meet you. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking there at Bishop's church and Dr. Avery was right before me. And so I got in and got to listen a little bit, and I thought, hey, I got to know more of this. And so, I got a chance to listen to him again, and then got the DVDs, and then got his book, Glory to God, which you're going to get a chance to get. And I'm really... The Spirit of God really impressed me by your combination as a neurosurgeon, and a very successful one, I might add, and your combination of use of spirit, soul, and body in everything you do, using what you've learned in faith, using what you've learned in the Word, depending completely on the Holy Spirit to do what you do, and to use the gifts of the Spirit and speaking and praying in tongues on a constant, continual basis to be successful at one of the most important medical practices on earth, which deals with the human brain and the whole neurological system. And I'm excited about it. And I got so excited. I mean, particularly when you got to talking about the effect of physical exercise on the brain and the way it functions and so forth. I got so amazed. You talk about being dedicated now. The surgeries that he does last sometimes 8 hours or better at a time. So his physical movement is very little. But he still does not let that get in the way of his physical exercise. If he has to do some of it in the shower or the bathtub or while he's standing... I'm going to let you tell that. I mean, you probably, but the one that got me just did it. That did it. He walks in the door. Andrea meets him. He starts doing jumping jacks when he walks in. He says, hello, darling. And he's doing jumping jacks the whole time. Come on, Doc. And you got to be completely physically worn out. And then you come in the house doing jumping jacks. Dedication is the name of that. You know, understand? I want to give you our golden text that the Lord spoke to me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Complete. Your whole spirit. Your spirit's not whole unless you're born again. Mm-hmm. And soul, which is the intellectual part of our being. We are an integrated system. Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Glory to God.
Amen.
The floor is yours, sir. Praise God forever.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Copeland, for having me and my family. And we're just so excited to be here. I just can't tell you what a blessing this is. And, you know, just through just a lot of prayer and favor. And, you know, everything just happened so quickly. You know, we've been watching you since I was a little boy. You'd come to Detroit with your meetings, and my sister and I we'd get on the bus, just the two of us, and we were preteens, and we'd come down to your meetings and just have a good old time.
Right.
Just a little bit about me, and you know, as you had mentioned, you know, in terms of me being a neurosurgeon and how that really started, because that really wasn't by choice. At all. Like, I had no say in that. My grandmother had a stroke when I was younger, around the age of 7, and so she had some facial weakness. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how can I help people like her who have these brain problems? And several months later, he said, you know, I heard in my spirit, he said, you're going to be a neurosurgeon. I want you to be a neurosurgeon. Well, I didn't know at the age of end of first grade, about 1975 or so, I didn't really know what a neurosurgeon was. So I went and looked it up, and it said neurosurgeon means brain surgery. And so I said, yes, sir, I'll do it.
Praise God.
And that was it. So there was no choice. There was just an acceptance because he said, you're going to do that. And that led to a whole host of events. And we go into, telling the teachers, and the teachers kind of said, okay, that's nice. You're going to be right. Yeah, you're going to be a brain surgeon.
You're going to be a fireman next week.
Right. Yeah, and then from there, you know, talked to my grandfather. And at that time, too, he was attending Word of Faith International Christian Center with Bishop Keith Butler and Pastor Deborah Butler at the time. And we went on over there, and I was pretty young. I was about 7 or 8 or so. And then came to know the Lord under Bishop Keith Butler and Pastor Deborah as a tween. So it was about maybe 11 or so, somewhere around there. And just kept going through, and there were all these challenges along the way in terms of the training and what have you. But I knew the Lord said, you're going to be a neurosurgeon, so I just kept going. And he found a way every time. Every time there was a door that closed, that he opened the door, and we kept going. And it's been an amazing journey. He took me through a lot of different training. And then from there, he some interesting opportunities when there was a lot of discouragement. So just to encourage everybody, you know, when the Lord tells you that he's going to have you do something, he's going to back you up and allow you to do that thing, because there's some discouragement along the way. Where it was a time where I had to get, I had to go through some testing at a certain time. And just before that testing, you know, there are certain requirements in neurosurgery that you have to fulfill. And they said, well, we need for you to come over here and help us in this one area, and it's going to take away from your training in another area, but that's okay, you know, you'll get through it. But the Lord said, I want you to make sure you keep doing this other area on the side. So it was in research. So while I'm going through my training and residency and fulfilling my requirements, at night when I was done, I kept doing that research. And I was able to get a peer-reviewed grant accepted during that time. So there was proof that I did the research. And it took about a year's worth of research. Well, by the end of the time period, it turns out that I went, and I was I had the chance to go on to the next level of training, which was after the residency into in a fellowship, which ultimately led me to where I am today. And I went and I talked to someone about it, and they said, "Well, you didn't finish all your training. You know, you have so many years, and you have to have your research." So I, you know, but the Lord was faithful, and He told me to do this. So I went and reached and I got all my research, all my proof, and I had done a year's worth of research. So I graduated actually a year early, and they allowed me to go to the next step. And again, and the Lord was just gracious. And then ultimately that took me to being in practice in Michigan in 2002. In my practice, I was employed for a year as a neurosurgeon and with a group, and different things changed. And after about a year and a half, I bought the practice and became independent. And the Lord has just done great things. You know, we've seen a lot, helped a lot of people, and just love the, you know, people.
Praise
and patients.
God.
And then that took us here to now having an opportunity to have a discussion about the tripart man. You know, and one of the things that he said, and I just have my notes here. One of the things that he'd mentioned about the practice is, he says, "I want you to make this the vision of the practice. This is really what this is about." And it's so ironic that now here we are having a discussion about that very thing all these years later. I've been in practice now for 17 years. And it was that your mission statement is compassion. Be compassionate for people and for me. Surgical excellence. Everything you do in surgery, I want to be with excellence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And education was the last one. And it's kind of interesting because now we're talking about, you know, education and research, and we're going to have a good time having that discussion. That was kind of the third piece. And I thought education was, we'll get into grants and we'll do research. And we've done some of that over the years. But now to have this dialogue and to be educated by the Holy Spirit and to be able to fold in His Word with science and to compare His Word and science and show that this is God's language, is science, and that He created the science to give us something to look at in terms of what He's already done, has just been just blowing my mind, just been fascinating.
Praise God.
So, you know, and so one of the things is we talk about the tripart man, and that's what he put on my heart was, he says, okay, here's my perspective about health and my perspective, which is a little bit different than the general perspective of a medical doctor. And he said, I see you as a tripart man. You are a spirit being. You possess or have a mind, will, and emotion, and you live in a physical body. And up to this point, you've been learning about the physical body side, the brain, and how the interactions, complex interactions occur. But what we need to do is to make sure that you cover, that you look at the other two-thirds, because I'm in a my perspective is I look at all three parts of you when I'm working on the healing and when I'm advising you about your health, your mental health, your physical health, and this is where I'm at. So don't be discouraged. And remember to tell people, don't be discouraged when you get a bad report because they're talking about the one-third. And there's still two-thirds out there that I'm working on.
Praise God, that's good.
You know,
yes,
and I'm working on. And so you just rely on me and trust me. And we'll deal with the one-third because the two-thirds are taken care of.
Amen. Man, that's good. Praise God. Well, that and He will do it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, to bring that to completion where it is whole.
Yes, sir.
That all three parts are working together for wellness, mm-hmm. not healing, wellness. To be well.
Yeah.
A well man doesn't get sick in the first place.
Yes, sir.
But you have to deal with the whole system, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's just take us right on into
the. So in terms of as a neurosurgeon in brain surgery, you know, we look at the brain itself. And so the brain doesn't shut off. It's constantly going, just like the heart doesn't shut off. And so when you're sleeping at night, you're crunching through what you thought about from the day before and so forth, and it's just constantly going. So it's important to have the peace of God and get that rest, because there's a difference between sleep and rest. And you can sleep and still have these thoughts churning, and then that can have a physical impact on your body. And so in terms of brain anatomy, and just a couple of points here, is, I mean, there are lots of parts, but the ones that are key for right now would be, you have this circuit in your brain, and it's called the circuit of Papes, even though it's spelled like Papez, P-A-P-E-Z, and that's a memory circuit. And all of the signals and interactions that we have through our five senses go to our frontal lobe. So that's an area that says, well, this is right, this is wrong, this is what, you know, why you've got information coming from this way. Then it goes into the Papes, circuit of Papes, that memory loop. And so you have this loop. And then from there, it goes into two other structures, one called the amygdala. And that's an area where it deals with emotions. And you get riled up for good, or sometimes not for good, but you get riled up about something. And then there's a structure called the hypothalamus, and that structure is really important. It's really a master control center, and it controls the master gland, which is the pituitary gland, but it's a master control center. Some people call it the master gland. And that's a really important piece because information comes into the frontal lobe, and then you analyze it and say, well, based on this information in my past history, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z based on that. And as you're making those decisions about what you see, that hypothalamus then directs the entire rest of the body to do what it needs to do. So there's a fight or flight combination there. And what that is that if you're nervous about something, you know, and you have to be on the ready to protect yourself, then that hypothalamus says, let's send these signals down to the rest of the body, you know, the 30 to 50 trillion cells, and then you'll have that response, so your muscles are ready to go, and you can run if you need to run or fight if you need to fight. The problem, though, is that you can unfilter that process and uncouple it from God's word. And so what happens then is that you're getting nervous and overworked or anxious for things you shouldn't be anxious for. And then as a result, hypothalamus works, kicks in, and then you develop a lot of factors and substances in the body that can be ultimately destructive if you don't shut that down and have some peace about things. And so those are some relevant
pieces. So you pointed out worry, care, anxiety, unforgiveness, lack of the love of God in your life.
Yes, sir.
All of those things, while you're sleeping, are affecting your health in a negative way.
Yes, sir.
My. Mm-hmm. Now that takes me, let's look in the book of Philippians here. And we can see easily in Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, or be anxious or fretful about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. If whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue or moral excellence, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you've both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
Glory to God. You need to do that every night.
Yes, sir. Every night.
Every night.
Every night. You know, we're being bombarded with a lot of stressors. And even at a young age, I believe that one of the wiles of the enemy, in my opinion, is how the children are affected. And we were all children at one point. And so it can have an effect on us adults if we don't get a hold of this thing, as the Lord says, and that you pointed out here. In children, there was an article that came out in one of the journals not very long ago, and it looked at that 1 in 5 children have some form of emotional stress that's diagnosable emotional stress or other issues.
20%.
Yeah, yeah. 1 in 5 children. And so what happens is only 20% of those children get any kind of treatment. And so you have a lot of unanswered issues out there in the hearts and minds of the children. And I believe that the enemy would just sneak that information and sneak those stressors right in there into their hearts, that increases those chemicals, one of which is dopamine, and dopamine is a neurotransmitter or it's a communicator of cells in different parts of the body. It is a feel-good transmitter. And what's interesting is that this feel-good transmitter, the dopamine, is what we use to do a lot. Parkinson's, we talk about, is a degenerative disorder where you have low dopamine levels, and that affects your movement, that affects your mood. Well, likewise, you can have low dopamine levels even in a drug addiction. The same, even though they're completely different origins, they both end up affecting your brain and those neurochemicals in the same way. And so, you know, when you see that, you go, wow, so, you know, outside forces, internal forces can affect the dopamine in the brain and can have an impact on your emotion and your mood. And then you put that into children, and the children can't tell you oftentimes what's wrong, you know. And so when that happens, especially in that age of 3 years old to 17 years, is when this particular study talked about that they have these issues, and then that can take us right on to what happens with them. They have the early adversity, all the struggles that they have internally that they go to bed on, they wake up on in their minds. If not dealt with God's word and with that peace and love and relationship, it'll just keep looping. Brother Keith Moore mentioned a while back that there are these memory loops that we have in a series, Careful for Nothing. And that was right spot on, because I'm looking at it as a neurosurgeon from the anatomic standpoint as we process information. And in these kids, it loops. And well, those loops get put into the subconscious. And when they get into that subconscious mind, the kids forget about them, but they're still going and they're mm-hmm. causing destruction. Mm-hmm. And without the word of God and without that relationship, and the friendship, and to let them know how valuable they are from God's perspective, that informs their kind of what they see and how they filter the world and all the interactions they have with people and situations from the time they're little all the way up until the time they're an adult.
Now, then this last 30 seconds or so, I can see the value of how the Lord trained me in last thoughts and first thoughts. Mm. And when I go to bed at night, and I hadn't always done this, but the very last thing before I just turn it all off, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. I love my neighbor as myself, fulfilling all the law and the prophets. And I love the brethren even as you love the brethren, my Father. Mm. Very last thing. And I can see now what kind of effect that has on my brain.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wow. Yeah. Praise God. And would you join me in welcoming Dr. Jackson to this broadcast today?
Thank you, Brother.
Just as I was praying, the Lord just flashed this across my thinking. He created everything before He created His man. Mm. He provided completely for him before He ever created him. So there's a way to fix everything. Glory to God.
Amen.
He is the provider.
Amen.
He's the beginning and He's the end, the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
And to have men like you called into this very special branch of medical science, neurosurgery, and then dealing with the brain. And for those of you that you weren't with us yesterday, Dr. Jackson is a neurosurgeon and knew he was going to be a neurosurgeon because he heard the Lord say it to him back as a very little boy, 7 or 8 years old. And he stayed with the program and now very, very successful. And he won't tell you this, but I will. very renowned neurosurgeon. And I'm just thrilled. I'm just thrilled that he knows my name. Glory to God. And just to have him as my friend and to have him on this broadcast is just a blessing beyond measure to me. With men like you and Dr. Don Colbert and men like that, I get so thrilled to be able to sit here. Men that honor the Word of God and put it first place and final authority.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Jackson, the people that we minister to predominantly are we're people of the book. We're very conscious about spiritual things and the awareness of it, that it is spirit and soul and body. But on this broadcast today, I want to go body, soul, and spirit. Most Christian people don't have any idea of how physical exercise can affect the spirit and how it can affect the mind and the brain, because the spirit affects the mind and the body. The mind affects the spirit and the body, and the body affects the spirit and the mind and the brain.
Yes, sir.
So the two things that just excited me beyond measure, it was, you're talking about physical exercise, but then you talked about having laugh sessions. Oh, I like that. and I knew that that the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. And from what Dr. Colbert had taught and so forth. But then I found out from you that medical science has proven that the body doesn't know the difference between a belly laugh and a put-on laugh.
That's right.
I'm interested.
Yes, sir.
Because there's times I had to just flat put it on because there wasn't anything. I just ha, 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 just did it anyway. But you can't do that very long till you start laughing at yourself, you know. But people in really serious pain and how exercise affects these things and how these things that people are so unaware of in the Christian world.
Well, Brother Copeland, you open up with a lot. And so for me, it's like a menu, and you just want everything on the menu to eat, right, in terms of what to talk about. And so where to start? So it's interesting, some interesting facts, and you mentioned about laughter. With laughter, you do get a physical benefit, even if it's a put-on. And there is a study looking at what happens even when you anticipate laughter. So even before you laugh, if you anticipate that you're going to laugh, you get benefit from that. Your heart rate changes, you get good blood flow, yeah. And in this particular study, they looked at stress hormones, and the stress hormones, one was adrenaline, epinephrine, which you get nerved up. In that study, it dropped 70%. Just when you're anticipating that you're about to laugh about something funny, and then the dopamine level is another neurotransmitter that decreases. And so as a result, just anticipating that something's going to be funny has benefit. MD Anderson, world famous center here in Texas, they're amazing at tumor research, dealing with all types of tumor from brain tumors all the way down. They looked at the question of laughter in brain tumor research. They do traditional research, traditional algorithms and treatment, right? So radiation, chemotherapy, and so forth. But they kind of stumbled on laughter medicine, and they found, now this is a top-notch research institution, found out that when you laugh, it whether you're happy or not, it literally affects the cancer cells, and it enhances the treatment significantly, and people live longer and have better quality of life, even with terminal cancer, from laughter. So that's kind of interesting. Now, you've got at least a couple of studies that we talked about in terms of laughter and the physical body, and then you walk that to the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, and so it's a decision that you make to want to laugh and to, you know, want to look at God's word and say, God, what do you say about this? And you say that I have this joy and the joy of the Lord is my strength in Nehemiah. So I'm going to make a decision.
Yeah, to count it all joy when you fall into different tests and trials and temptations and so forth.
And isn't that interesting? Because you think, so I'm supposed to be joyful because somebody did something to me or I had a bad, something happened to me, but it's protective. So God loves us so much, right? That He's like, look, yeah, these things are coming. But if you get into this condemnation, if you get into this anger, that hypothalamus and how your brain works is going to create this cascade that can be detrimental to your health. But on the other hand, if you listen to my word as it relates to the joy and count it all joy, then that cascade and what the devil is trying to do to get you into a state of poor health mentally and physically is going to be blocked because you listen to me. And so that's why he's saying, look, science is not really apart from me. I created all the matter. I created you. I created all the science. And science is my textbook or instruction book to say this is what I did. Now, whether you read it or not is completely irrelevant. All you have to do is just believe him and his word and all
it'll
of his process, and he'll get
it'll
you there.
Get you there.
So from the exercise standpoint, one of the things that's really interesting that we've been struggling with exercise and laughter, is this opioid epidemic. So this huge epidemic that's all across the country. It's ravaging states and cities, you know, with drugs, and people are trying to find something to help with pain. Well, when you laugh, it's actually a natural painkiller. And when you exercise, it's a natural painkiller. And it works on the exact same receptors in your brain and body, just like the medication. So it not only works on the receptors.
Come on, say it again.
Yeah. When you laugh and when you exercise, it is really, it's God's answer, one of his answers to pain, dealing with pain. Because on a chemical standpoint, a scientific standpoint, it works on the same cell receptors. So when you're laughing, dopamine and the endorphins get going, and those connect to cells on a cellular level, change the receptor, go into your cell, and then change the cell, just like a narcotic or pain medication.
So would that be then that that's where the narcotic got the nickname dope?
Yes, sir, from dopamine. Yes, sir. And God made that dopamine specifically for us to be able to have that sense of well-being. And with dopamine, it connects you to people and circumstances that are good, that you might think are good. For instance, when you're praying in the Spirit and you're spending time in the Lord and you get happy about it, the dopamine goes up because it's encouraging you to do that again because it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So dopamine goes up and then it helps your brain and helps your body. One of the other pieces is regarding the brain, neurodegenerative disorders like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. Huge topics today. Well, when you exercise, so there was a study looking at these cells that God put in us, right? God put in all the stem cells, which are cells that reproduce in all of our bodies. And he loves us so much that he put these cells into us from the time we were 2 cells old, okay? And he put these neurostem cells in the brain and basically said this, if you exercise and you get the appropriate blood flow to the brain, then you're going to facilitate my healing mechanism of those cells working, and they can affect, make Alzheimer's, repair Parkinson's, and repair even injuries to the brain. So exercise and laughter can do that, and that's God's mechanism.
Mm, mm, mm. That brings up a question I know is on the heart and mind of a lot of people. What can you tell us about Alzheimer's and how it the most insidious thing that I can think about is the something that affects the memory so that you don't know that you forgot and you don't know you have it, and yet it's increasing and getting worse and you don't even know it. Mm.
So we talked about that memory loop, the circuit of Papes. And so that's how we process information initially that comes into our five senses through the frontal lobe, circuit of Papes, and then we process that memory into something that's separate from our brains, which is a part of our mind, will, and emotion, which stays with us as when we leave this body. Well, the interesting piece is that that circuit, we're not always aware of the memories as they're processed and where they go, because they go to the subconscious mind. Yeah. So if the brain is broken in some areas and that loop is broken, you're not going to be conscious of when you start to lose the memory, and then it's going to go in the subconscious mind. There are about 400 billion actions per second that occur in the subconscious mind. Every couple of seconds, about 5 to 10 of those thoughts and memories come up to where we can see them. But in that moment, in those moments, if that circuit is broken because of the chemicals like acetylcholine, you know, and that's for Alzheimer's, if that's broken, then that loop doesn't, the processing doesn't work well. And again, you're not really conscious of it.
So where do people like us, how do we, in the Word of God and in our daily lives, how do we protect ourselves?
Yes, sir. And you had mentioned early on about the physical, then the soul, and the spirit. And that is that when you choose to laugh, you choose the joy of the Lord, because he said this about you. That's important. Exercise is important because it increases that blood flow that affects the Alzheimer's and reverses the damage to the brain tissue. And those are decisions that go from your soul to your physical body and then ultimately to your spirit to really build you up in who you are in Christ.
So it looks like to me you could go a long ways toward reversing that with those very same things, laughter and exercise. And, of course, diet like it should be in the first.
Yes, sir, and diet.
But go ahead.
Yes, sir. And especially, so with a diet, you know, watching, there's certain foods that will increase dopamine. And when that dopamine is increased, that helps to repair your brain. But you got to have blood supply. There was a study done looking at younger people and older people who had these accidents, died suddenly. So they didn't have any chronic conditions. And the amount of those stem cells in the brain, so again, stem cells being cells that God gave us that will reproduce themselves, were the same in the young people and in the older people. So when you look at that, you go, well, why does Alzheimer's and Parkinson's tend to happen in older people for the most part and not in the younger people, especially if we have cells that can replace the bad cells and replace that loop of memory? The answer, blood supply. It's all about the blood supply. So that's why that walking, that exercise to get the heart rate up, you know, 30 minutes to 50 minutes a day, if you can, you know, slowly build it up, gets that blood supply to support God's mechanism, which is those stem cells, and those stem cells then can replace themselves. People used to argue that stem cells, there weren't stem cells in the brain, and there's no replacing. Once you have your brain structures, you have them. That's not true. You literally, for instance, the hypothalamus, which is a part of the brain, hippocampus, I'm sorry, for memory in that loop, that entire structure gets replaced over the course of your life. You actually start with one and you end with a brand new one because of these cells, these stem cells.
Well, praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So basically, exercise does for the body what the Word of God does for your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise God. How much time have we got, Tim? 5 minutes.
Okay.
Get every ounce of it.
So, you know, as Christians, we live by faith. And that's an important piece. And so, but if we don't exercise our bodies and have that blood flow work, it's going to break down. And that's going to eventually have a toll on our mind, will, and emotion. And then that's going to have an effect on our spirit. And so, and our perspective, everything changes. So then the devil's wiles from the age of 6 or 7, when mom or dad yelled at me or mom or dad said something that I interpreted the wrong way, that was back there way in my memory banks, comes out, and now I'm mad at God. I'm mad at other people. I don't have a good sense of who I am. And so then I say, well, I'm not going to take care of myself, so there's no way I'm going to exercise. I have depression. There's a study looking at twins, and in twins, they looked at what happens when they had adversity in their lives early on, and they went on to have chronic pain. Another study that says that 50% of people who had chronic pain went on to have depression. So you go from childhood issues that are in the underlying, and then you don't exercise, or there's some other issues that happen on top of that. And so now it's they're playing off of each other between the spirit, the soul, mind, and emotion, and the body, and they go back and forth. So when you make a decision, and I call it y'all, so which means you choose a task. So you choose God's word, and it says, you know, I'm the healed. Or it says, he says, I have the joy of the Lord. And he says, you know, get moving. And I do that. And then A stands for amazing relationships. So the relationship that you have with Christ is the most important thing you can have, and relying on his word, and then with each other. And then, lastly, laughter. Because with that laughter, it does so much to repair, as God had it, would have it for us, beyond what we can do and even exercise.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's go ahead and continue. I was thinking about the DVDs of yours that I watched on this subject.
Yes, sir.
And I believe it would please the Lord if we just make the outline that you were using for that and just continue with that.
Yes, sir.
Because that's where we're lacking so much, is the correlation between the exercise. I learned years and years and years and years ago, like 50 years ago, that first of all, I learned to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Well, being a doer of a word is spiritual exercise. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can hear a lot of word and no doer, and nothing's happening. So you got a fat, flabby spirit. Then advanced exercise was praying in tongues. Mm-hmm. Now, that not only affected my spirit, but it began to affect my mind, and especially my brain, because I have a way of communicating with God that edifies me and builds me up. But then I just absolutely hated the idea of exercise. I was always tended to be overweight, and was. And even as a young boy in athletics, I had to really, really push to do it. And consequently, I didn't want to exercise doing anything else except that. And then, way back there, the Lord started talking to me about walking. Walk. Well, I'd do it a few days, and back in those days, I was preaching 7 days a week, which was my stupid fault. And the Lord said to me one time, he said, it's not my ministry that breaking you down. It's all that stuff you added to it. And he was right. So anyway, that loop, well, I'm really tired. I'm too tired to exercise. Well, I exercise and then get tireder. And it doesn't last but a few days and you're done. Well, then the depression started. And I had to fight depression before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 1962. Mm. I want you to know, I battled depression and didn't know what to do with it, you know. And then I fought it even after I got into the ministry. And I finally began to realize, and I had opened the door to that thing. And one day I had just gone up and just fallen across the bed. I was so exhausted. Mm. And I just And that thing came over me, and it had just this big knot in here that I couldn't cough up and I couldn't swallow. And I had been, I had been standing against that thing with all I had. And Gloria just walked in there and sat down next to me. I was crosswise of the bed. I was just lying there. She put her hand, Doc, right where that was. And she just started praying. It was so hard on me. I had to put my hands under my legs to keep from getting her hand and taking it away. And when that happened, I recognized right then it was a spirit. I don't have a demon in my born again spirit, no such thing. You live in a house. You can have termites in the house, but you don't have termites in yourself. So, but I saw it, and the minute she moved her hand, it left. And I've been free ever since. And we're out of time. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you right now. If you've been combating any kind of depression, you listen to this man and you listen to God. And you, and I found out this, that depression come on me, I just shout, glory to God! And that thing would run, like the scared demon he is. Amen. Dr. Avery Jackson, welcome to this broadcast,
sir.
Chief Executive Officer, Medical Director, Michigan Neurosurgical Institute. I'm glad I'm not called to be that. I wouldn't be able to pronounce it. Preacher is easy.
Amazing preacher.
Oh, well, no, thank you, sir, very much. And our golden text, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your the intellectual part of you, and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He has done it, and that's what this book is about.
Amen.
This whole book, from cover to cover, is about spirit and soul and body. God started Adam that way. And it's, then he did what he did and brought the breaking of this system. And over the centuries, people have studied and sought after God. And the least understood revelation, I believe, in the Bible is the difference between spirit and soul and body. And you can you can immediately place people where they are. Now, that's the biblical order. The spirit is the never-dying you. And you have a soul. That, because that proves it, that verse of Scripture, and also in the book of Hebrews and other places. And the spirit man is the person that will live eternally. You know, whether you go to heaven or hell, you're a spirit being and you will live eternally. I realized from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's teaching, he was talking about the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus talked about it. He said a certain man. So I'm totally convinced that as he called Lazarus by his name. So the people that to whom he was speaking knew both these men. And he's using this to teach the difference. And it was a shocking revelation to me when Father Abraham, the rich man is in hell now. His body is topside someplace. So he doesn't have a brain, the physical brain. But Abraham said, son, remember, memory's intact.
Yes, sir.
Because his soul is intact.
Yes, sir.
And his memory, his the intellectual part of him is still very much alive. It's functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Better than it was when he was in his body. Because it's working 100% now.
Mm-hmm.
He remembers every little thing that happened to him all of his existence, and he's going to have to remember that trash forever and ever 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 and ever. Now, his nature is still intact. He said, have Lazarus. He's still wanting to boss Lazarus around. And he's trying to tell Abraham what to do. Now, isn't it amazing that he knew who Abraham was?
Mm.
So my point being, let's deal with this thing now. Let's do the things that that protect and enhance this brain and this body, because the brain is the tool of the mind. And whoa, I better do whatever it takes to keep this thing running, particularly if I'm going to live out my full days on this earth, which in my case would be 120 years. And I have made the choice, and I have to continue to keep that choice in place to do whatever it takes. Now, like I said the day before yesterday, spirit, soul, and body is the biblical order. You'll hear people say body, mind, and spirit. So you know right there it's not a scriptural revelation.
Yes, sir.
But we're talking today about body first and its effect on the mind, because it's so serious.
Mm.
So take us back into this train of exercise and how we can develop it in our lives. Because I learned this even as a young man, that by being an athlete and so forth, I was extremely competitive. And I'd go back to exercise, and I'd just start trying to take up where I was before, and it hurt me, and I was like, I ain't doing that anymore. I'm too busy anyway. And so, but it has reversed my lifestyle.
Mm.
And used to, I was more awake and alert in the middle of the night, and was that way from the time I was a little boy. I didn't sleep much.
Mm.
Well, that caused a lot of problems, too. But over the years, the Lord helped me and reversed that. And now, because of my hour to hour and a half or so praying, first of all, for all men, kings, and all that are in authority and so forth, and then my partners praise God all over the world. And so in order to take care of business, man, I mean, like this morning, I was in prayer a little bit before 6, so I had to get up, you know, 4:45, happy to do it, and get up and get in that exercise room, work out an hour. And man, I'm telling you, this is a miracle in my life.
Mm.
And it's changing things. And you're supposed to be talking and not me.
It's just wonderful to hear you talk because you're so excited about it.
I am. I am extremely excited.
And so that's proof positive.
I'm excited about it for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Because we have not had... Now, Dr. Colbert and men like that, oh, yeah. We've had outstanding information. But this is coming from a neurosurgeon. And so we get... It's one thing... It's one thing to talk to a guy that fixes flats in a service station.
Yes, sir.
And to talk to a man that builds engines.
Mm.
I want to know about the engine. I can fix a flat. I need to get inside that engine. I want to know what's going on in there.
You know, Brother Copeland, you mentioned about the exercise and the choices that you made, and also that your what we call the circadian rhythm, which is your sleep-wake cycles and patterns. You'll find that oftentimes when people have work hours, and God bless them, but you know, when they're topsy-turvy, where you're up all night and you have to sleep during the day, that can create some challenges. It can create, you have to really work on stabilizing your mood, your physical health. It's harder to exercise, and there's a weight that you feel on your spirit because of all of this flesh that we're wrapped in, and it's kind of holding us down. And to be free with that spirit, to be able to really focus on God's word, you can't focus inward. And so with the physical, as you mentioned, going from the physical to the soul to the spirit, if we have these physical issues, the tiredness and the fatigue, it's going to weigh us down, and our soul, mind, will, and emotion, then is going to have give attention to the physical and being tired. And that's going to take away that time that we need with the Lord and prayer and so forth, as He tells us to do X, Y, and Z.
It starts absorbing your life, and then you're down all the time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I see it.
The dopamine is a classic example. So we talked about that your spirit, you have a mind, will, and emotion, you live in a physical body. Well, the physical body side includes your brain, because your brain is separate than your mind.
Yeah.
Your brain is the physical processor of all the information that comes through your five senses. It gets wrapped up. There's a little memory loop there that starts the process, and then it slips into your mind, which is going to stay with you for eternity. And then, but the issue there is that if you're, while that processor is working, if it's not fed right, if it's not getting water, if it's not getting sleep or exercise, then the way that you process information is not going to be as effective as what you need to get it to the memory and to also help to supercharge your soul, as we're talking about going from body to soul to spirit. And so that's so important. And you also mentioned about praying in the heavenly language in tongues, mm-hmm. but that's an act of your will.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Because especially if you're, hey, I don't want to get up, and you know, and I'm not sure if I completely 100% believe what God's word says about what it'll do for me. If I'm not sure, if I have those doubts because of my soul, maybe because of scenarios in the past, people I've talked to, what have you. But in doubt, in that soul part, will affect my spirit, because then I'm not praying in my heavenly language, and that I lose my focus, and then I'm not filled up or being refilled with the spirit, my measure of the spirit as I'm supposed to. Now, if I'm not praying in heavenly language, then I'm not going to be listening when the Holy Spirit says, you need to exercise to get that body in shape, and that's going to have a cyclical pattern, because all three are interwoven.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we know is if I'm in good shape, if my heart, my physical blood pump is working well, and let's say that yours or the body of Christ around me isn't, there was a study looking at what happens when we come together corporately. And when you look at when we come together corporately, there's a study that says that when we have relationship, which takes effort, but when we have relationship, our hearts, the heartbeats literally sync up.
Wow.
So how...
Now
so,
that you're approaching quantum physics here, and I'm liking this.
Yeah.
Whoa, glory to God.
So it syncs up. So can I be...
So if that should be the absolute truth with you and your spouse.
Yes, sir.
All the time. And strife can mess that up.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see that. And the strife messes up your brain.
Yep.
Yep.
And so that's an important piece. So... The other piece is the way that God made us. People say, well, does God love me?
Now, let me ask you something here, Dr. Jackson.
Yeah.
When our physical hearts begin to agree, I can see, the scientific law of synergy, if you put two equal forces together, you get the force of three.
Mm.
Now, spiritual synergy, it's one put 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. Any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. So we need to be in agreement in our love walk, so synced. Oh, man, I just see a ministry staff. There must not be any strife.
Amen.
There must not be. Strife is so dangerous. It is to the kingdom of God what serpents and snakes are to the natural world.
Yes, sir.
It is so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see this. Well, you talk. I'm kind of...
Yeah, and so sinking is something that happens when we're in agreement and the heart literally sinks, and when they come together, that can help with certain conditions. So it's really interesting because you pour this love out to the people around you, but you can't do that if you're in physical pain. You can't do that if you have emotional trauma that turns you inward and there's an emotional pain that you have. Then it's a challenge to be able to connect and have that relationship that we're supposed to have physically.
Wow. Praise God.
Yeah. And so even thinking about the joy that you have of being with someone that you love, that increases your dopamine, your brain chemicals, your feel-good chemicals, and reinforces memories that you've had about and with that person that you've created. So your brain's got, you know, the memories are going because you pull those memories back. And then you feel it because of the chemicals go throughout your body and you feel good, you feel revived because you remember the last time you were together, you laughed and you had a good time. And now you're more likely to exercise because you're, you know, your mood's different. You're not depressed.
Yes, I can see that. And then on the other hand, then the more you exercise, the more it increases the other side of the equation.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, go ahead with that. I got so, particularly, you're talking about your lifestyle and what you have to do and the commitment that you have made. And I can see that commitment now because exercise is a part of your tools.
Yeah.
You have to do this.
Yes, sir. And my wife is very kind, as I mentioned, because we don't have a lot of time, and so my days can run long. I'll be in the operating room operating either in a brain surgery case or a spine case, and that case can be anywhere from 1 hour. We've had 16-hour, even 24-hour long cases. So you come out of the surgery, and you get home, and you have to find a place to exercise your spirit, your soul, and your body. And so immediately I get home, and when I'm talking to my wife, I'll perform jumping jacks. So the Holy Spirit said, well, you know, here's some things that you can do. Because I said, well, I'm running out of time. I don't have much time. And he said, that's no excuse. No, you got to still do it, right? Take care of your health. You got to take care of all three parts of you. So anyway, jumping jacks while we were talking.
Pardon me for interrupting you, but I have to get back to this.
Yeah.
Because I can see it where my life and ministry is concerned.
Mm.
Exercise is to you. And the longevity of your practice and the health of other human beings, what a rifle is to a soldier.
Yes, sir.
Now, you cannot, you must not, you can't put up with a nasty, filthy weapon. It'll get you killed.
Mm.
And I saw it. Just flashed. I've never seen that before. It's a tool to your trade. You have to do it.
And you know, just to piggyback off of exactly what you said, when I'm in surgery, when I'm synced up the Holy Spirit, because when I operate, I listen to the Holy Spirit and I follow His peace and then I do the right things and I don't hurt anybody. But if I'm not synced up because I'm not exercising and my attitude's bad because I'm tired, I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, then somebody gets hurt in surgery.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, I can see that. Glory to God. Praise. Father, thank you for that. Oh, my, glory, Jesus. Now, continue with this and how that, well, you just be led of the Lord and take us deeper into this.
You know, going back to the children, if I could, because that's such an important subject, is that we form our brains at different stages of development from the time we're younger. And our brain doesn't fully form until the age of 25 or 26. And so when we are introduced to these emotional issues, that has an effect and informs how we see the world and has an effect on our bodies and has an effect on our emotional state. So you have situations where what is supposed to be right or supposed to be wrong is flipped. And so now you're looking at what is wrong and you say it's right. And I believe it's because of one of the things could be what happened back then in your brain and your emotions. And that has huge implications on your physical body.
No way that seems right to a man, but it's the way of death.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And in particular, as a physician, you know, I care for all people. It doesn't matter what sex you are, race, none of that matters to me. It's about how can I be of help to you. There are certain populations of people that have a higher rate or risk of depression and physical challenges, and that is when you talk about gender issues. And it's an important piece because, and I think people are focused on the wrong thing. They're focused on the physical side and decisions made, but they're missing the spiritual side and they're missing the soulical side. And my heart goes out to people when they have an increased risk of infection, increased depression in those populations. And it ought not be. It ought not be. And again, I go back to that time when something happened, an abuse or a misinterpretation of what happened, and then how that informs certain decisions. And then you get to a situation now where you say, physical anatomy and this, and well, that's all wrong. This is what's right. And it doesn't make any sense. So for me as a surgeon, I study anatomy. I know the physiology. So to tell me that the anatomy and physiology is different than how God created it and its function is flabbergasting to me. And it bothers me when that happens and it affects people. And it affects them in all three areas. And so I think that's kind of a hidden piece because we're focused on the one third, which is the physical. But we're missing some of the real underlying techniques as far as soul and also spirit.
Missing the roots.
The roots, yes, sir.
Yeah, praise God.
Yeah.
Now, how do you combine your exercise, your physical exercise, how do you combine that with praying in the spirit?
So
your spiritual exercise.
Yes, sir. So being Word of Faith, Bishop Keith Butler and Pastor Deborah, they're just amazing teachers and they love the Lord and they let the Holy Spirit move throughout the service as well as the teaching. So that's kind of interesting because their posture is the teaching as well as praying in the heavenly language and letting the Lord move at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, it's no different. So while I'm academic in my exercise, my research, and how I do what I do in my brain, the Holy Spirit is always welcomed, and He's always a part of that.
Oh, yeah, amen.
Right?
Praise
so,
God.
So the Holy Spirit said, when you exercise, dance in the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And now you get your exercise. So we know that if there's heart issues, cardiac issues, that if you have a sedentary professional lifestyle, 6 to 8 hours of either sitting or standing, your risk of having a heart attack or stroke is pretty high. And those are the big killers here in the United States.
Would you join me again today in welcoming Dr. Avery Jackson to this studio? Praise God.
Thank you. Brother Copeland.
Renowned neurosurgeon. And we're talking about the effect. I mean, now we're people of faith. We're people of the Word of God. And our lifestyle is to put the Word of God first place in our lives and to do it, to act on it. And Dr. Jackson is a man that was raised in a Word of Faith church. And Bishop Keith Butler's church, Deborah Butler, in Detroit. Praise God, I tell you. And Gloria and I have been close to Keith and Deborah for years and years and years and years. I knew him when he had hair. I mean, that I'm telling you, and you know, like the old tall drink of water. And first time we were having a meeting at Cobo Hall, and I heard about him and knew about him, and I wanted to hear him preach, so I just went to church, and man, I'm telling you, he had a classic afro, man. It looked really good, and. I told Gloria, we got through that church service that morning. I said, I want you to heal, do. Man, I'll tell you. Yeah. And our families have been in love with one another all these years, and men and women of faith. Mm. And Dr. Avery was literally raised in that church from just a small boy and has grown up in the word of faith all these years. Now, when I first heard him speak and talking about the effect and the importance and the reality that physical exercise has on your spirit, not to mention your brain, which is the tool of the mind. And it just shot a thrill through me, and we've got an old sacred cow here. We're gonna shoot her right between the eyes. Oh, glory to God! 1 Timothy 4. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This does not say that exercise is not important. It's little compared to the spiritual life of a man. Because this physical exercise is going to be over when the physical body's over, and you'll never need it again. But listen, we've got a job to do in this earth, and physical exercise is a vital part of it. Amen. Now, one translation, the Classic Amplified makes it even more clearly stated, but there's one translation, I don't remember exactly which one of it is. Anyway, it says, physical exercise doesn't last very long. Mm. You have to keep doing it in order to progress and for it to grow and do what it's supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Because you quit for a couple of weeks and it starts sliding the other way. But people used to use that. Well, you know, they don't pay attention to that. Doc, the same thing they did diet. Now, I'm talking about the medical community. Well, man, fatsoes like me, man, I mean, we really went for that, you know. I used to weigh 100 pounds more than I do now. Mm. So, not for long, but I carried 235, 240 for a long time. Mm. I weighed 235 when Gloria and I got married in 1962. Mm. But then in 67, I went to Oral Roberts University, and the Lord said to me, I mean, it was so strong. He said, boy, you get that fat off your body. And he started working on me right then. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get me to exercise then. I still didn't do it. Worked at it and managed my weight and so forth. But I was doing it the hard way and didn't know it. Anyway, it is such a vital part incorporated. Like we were talking about yesterday, that came to me as such an insight that somebody in your business, You have people's lives in your hands. Your well-being is vitally, extremely important. Your stamina is important. You can't afford to be standing there for 8, 10, 12 hours in intense concentration to operate on somebody's brain and your back's hurting you. That can't be, you can't afford spinal stenosis.
Yes, sir.
You can't afford that.
Yes, sir.
And the only way to keep them having that's keep moving. And you can't be standing there with sciatic pain hurting you, so you like kill somebody in a deal like that. So what do? Well, you take a good strong narcotic to kill that, because that's the only thing that'll hit that nerve pain. And the first thing you know, you've got a doctor on heroin. And it happens.
It happens.
It happens.
It happens.
And physical exercise would have stopped that whole scenario.
That's right. That's right. The way our spines, God has made us, which is just amazing to me. So He is so kind that He put all of the factors in us from the two stem cells, the egg and the sperm, when they come together, then God drops our spirit right in the middle of that union.
Yeah, isn't that good?
And wraps the cells around us. And now this coat is our body.
Yeah.
And so with the exercise that He's given us and He told us that we need to do, that affects everything, even our DNA, because He made the DNA, so He knows what happens in the DNA. There is a study looking at precursors to cancer. And the same process, there's a process that causes cancer cells. Well, when you exercise, you produce a factor, a certain protein, that reverses the effect of the cancer-forming cells at a DNA level.
Wow.
So, huge research on that. There's another study looking at exercise and the DNA and how when you're exercising, it helps to prevent aging, the aging process of cells in your body, including your muscles and all the other tissues. And so that the way that works is that in this study, the DNA, it forms, and as you produce more cells, you produce more DNA. It's formed in what's called a chromatin. So anyway, it's formed like an X. Well, when the cells start to die, you chop away at the legs of this chromatin, the DNA in these new cells, and they get older and older and older. But when you exercise, you produce protein that reverses and stops the chopping of those the DNA in those cells. So that's one of the fountains of youth. People want to take an elixir or whatever else. All they have to do is laugh and exercise. Yeah. And it literally, at a DNA level, can stop the aging of cells.
I need to say this because I experienced both sides of it. If you say something long enough, and I'm not talking about years and years and years, of course, but it doesn't take years and years and years. Mm-hmm. You say something long enough for it to get into your spirit, it'll control your life. Mm-hmm. And I said it, even knowing the value of my words and then taught the value and preached it in the pulpit and then violated it where exercise was concerned. And the first step to reversing a dislike and an unwillingness to exercise starts in your heart and comes out your mouth. If you don't do that first, you'll never whip it. It'll whip you. The flesh will whip you every time if you don't get on the Word of God and build up your faith and begin to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. The devil will whip you. But if you'll keep him over in the faith arena, you can whip him 100% of the time. Amen. Amen. And I've testified of this before. I had made the decision, glory to God, I'm going to do this thing. I can see this. This is wonderful. I had a real, we built our home, glory, and I built a real nice exercise room in there. We didn't totally ignore it. We did use it, particularly treadmill, but not on a consistent basis. But I'd made the decision, I'm in there, man. And praise God, I'm a first day, and I'm really looking forward to this thing. And I've got an A-frame that has a deal here with these two little ropes come down here like this, and this stack of weights here at the bottom. And you take this thing, and it's to work triceps and so forth. And I reached up there and caught a hold of it. I am really happy to be in there. It came out my mouth before I could stop it. Mm. And I caught a hold of that, and I just flooded all over. And I said, God, I hate this. And I shouted, no, no, I don't. No, Lord, I couldn't get my hand over my mouth quick enough to stop it. I said, no, in the name of Jesus, I love this. I love you, and I love this, and I'm doing this in obedience to you. I physically felt it leave my body. And now I can't do without it. You know, taping is a real excuse. You know, that's a pretty legitimate excuse, you know. I'm going to be taping today, and you know. No, no, you just go and get up about 5:30, and that's the time I get up anyway. So, and do you take care of the praying first, take care of the godly part first, and then in there and put your body to work. Praise God. And it's doing in my body and in my memory and in my mind. I'll be 83 in December, first week of December.
Praise the Lord.
And it's working. It's working. Glory to God. I'm excited about it. I don't want to do without it. And you better talk. I get carried away. But the important thing to say is you have to put your faith to work first. Don't try to put the body to work first. And particularly if you've always said, I don't like that. Every time I do that, it makes me feel worse and all that. You're going to have to start calling things that be not as though they were. And you say it by faith. Say this. By faith. When I exercise.
I feel better.
Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I don't. I know it. You just told me you don't. That's Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25. That's what Jesus said. And you go to that verse right there. It didn't say bodily exercise does not profit. It says it profits less than the spiritual exercise. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now that cow's dead, go ahead with what.
So it's interesting, Brother Copeland. Bishop Butler literally hit this point in church just a Sunday ago about the, you know, the exercise and the in scripture, the exact same scripture. And it's kind of interesting because it's obviously kind of an excuse, right? If we can find an excuse to kind of get out of something, then it's because we just don't like it. It hurts physically. It hurts emotionally. It can, you know, it just hurts is what we think. And so when we have hurt, we think that that's destructive to us. But in fact, that's not the case. Hurt, or it's a signal to say, here's something that you're not used to doing. And it's going to change some things, but as you get through that soreness and that hurt, you're going to come out better for it.
My son says, Daddy, that soreness is the weakness leaving.
Yes, sir. it really is. It really is. At a DNA level, we talked about how when you exercise, that affects your DNA and it changes your anatomy. It changes you at a cellular level. It changes your outlook. And those are important pieces because we talk about depression and the spirit connected to exercise, and they're completely connected. If I have internal pain, I cannot focus. It's going to be hard for me to focus on God's word in the middle of adversity. And also my concentration's not going to be there. And so in neurosurgery, one of the things that when I'm operating, I see the patient and the Lord and I sync up. I get to feel the peace of God, and he'll guide me in my spirit. And I don't feel any physical at all when I'm operating. I don't feel from here down. It doesn't exist anymore. It goes away.
Yeah.
And then forever, however many hours, sometimes I have to look up the clock because 5 or 6 hours will go by at a shot. Yeah. and I'm not aware of it with my soul, you know. And so I think, you know, it's an important piece is that when you make that decision of faith, that everything else is going to follow.
Now, when I was in, at times when I had really, really excruciating pain, and back in the early days of my ministry, I had a situation that happened that it was just awful pain. I would step out on the platform and the anointing would come on me. And I would have no pain. And a couple of times, and it was a 3-week meeting, and a couple of times during that, particularly in the last week of it, a couple of times in that meeting, I've forgotten completely about it. And it wasn't just mental, because the anointing was there. Mm-hmm. But then I'd walk off the platform, and before I could catch it, I'd holler out with pain. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean I was not being affected.
Right.
Because I cannot believe I was as effective in those meetings. I do not believe I was as effective in those meetings, because when I got out of those meetings, I did not want to pray. Man, I was hurting so bad. I didn't. Mm. I just pray in the spirit against that pain. No peace, hurt, man, just awful pain. Mm. You cannot be doing that. Now, back there then, I was way too heavy. And even then, I weighed, especially then, I probably weighed 220, mm-hmm. 225. I shouldn't have been weighing that. If I had just listened to God in the first place, I would have never had that pain.
Amen.
I would not have had it in the first place.
Yep. And then that would have, you know, and then when you're, you have that peace and you're happier, then you start to laugh.
Yeah.
And when you laugh, then that's a natural painkiller in and of itself. And so if you have a natural painkiller after you laugh, then you tend to exercise, or you tend to move more. Maybe you tend to park further away when you're in the shopping mall, in the parking lot, because God's telling you need to move and you need to, you know. And so you can do all those things. And again, having the spirit, the soul, and the body sync really makes it work, you know. And even at a DNA genetic level, it's just amazing how God created us. And we talk about genetics. We talk about something called epigenetics. And we know that genetics is a blueprint that says, you know, you're going to have skin and bone and what have you. But the epigenetics is the expression of that blueprint. And your emotions, substances, your emotions, exercise, and diet can literally affect you at a DNA level in the gene expression and the epigenetic side of who you are. So now that's really interesting.
Yeah,
right? Because if your attitude's wrong or what you're eating is wrong, it can have an effect at a DNA level, and you're not going to express the appropriate proteins that you need to build your muscle, to build your blood. And so then now you've got this cascade effect. When you look at, there's a study looking at Alzheimer's caregivers. And so when we talk about biomarkers are substances in the blood, chemical substances that allow us to know how things are going in your body. And one of the biomarkers is it's called a cytokine. And when you're compared to the general population who has cytokines in the blood, we have some because of inflammation. There's natural occurring cytokines in the blood. But in those who take care of Alzheimer's patients over a long period, their cytokines or inflammatory biomarkers are 6 times greater than the general population who has pain and aches. It's much, much, much higher.
6 times.
6 times.
Wow. My goodness.
Yep.
Praise God.
Yeah. And so that signifies the inflammation's high, signifies that when the inflammation's high, the cells that deal with pain and inflammation are higher. So you're in more pain, you're agitated, there's a lot going on in your body from DNA all the way up to the physical.
Yeah, because that the particularly pain is just there all the time. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be all that bad. But if it's there all the time, and you get to where your you're sharp in your answers to people, and because now your sink isn't there with your wife, your children, and so forth, and it's dangerous, isn't it?
It is. You mentioned earlier about root causes in the prior episode, and again, going back to when you're a child, there was a study looking at twins who had significant adversity and trauma as a child, mostly emotional trauma, some physical. That led to chronic pain and then led to depression now in adulthood. So it's a direct correlation of what happened to you or them at that time and how they perceive the world and their experiences. So either you choose what you see in front of you and you just make it a call and shoot from the hip, or you go to the Word and you see what God says about the situation.
Deuteronomy 30:19. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. God's already made His choice. He is the blessing.
Yes, sir.
That's what He is. That's what He does. Love blesses. He's the great giver of life. But He said, hey, I choose you. Now it's up to you. You choose. Well, something as simple as physical exercise can affect your life that way. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd have heard these messages 40 years ago. But thank God we're hearing them now. I want you to join me in welcoming Dr. Avery Jackson to this broadcast again today. I'm so blessed and thrilled with what we're learning, what we're seeing. I want to read this because I had to exercise this morning. I was physically, I was tired this morning. I had a good night's sleep last night. I get good sleep. But I woke up and I worked out hard yesterday and then taped yesterday. And so today, the great scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it's been translated, who strengthens me? But I want you to notice here, he didn't say Jesus. He said Christ. He is referring to the anointing. And to, of course, you can't separate Jesus from His anointing, but the word Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which is anointing. Jesus said, I am anointed. God has anointed me to preach. So, I can do all things through His anointing that strengthens me. And if I'm asking Jesus to strengthen me, then here's something I'm missing. I'm not out of line, but I'm not hitting the bullseye. Mm. What is the bullseye? Joy. The bullseye is joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And we have joy on the inside of us. It was imparted into you when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, because that is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is God's joy, and it is in there whether you feel good or not, but you have to operate it by faith. Amen. And that's what that scripture right there, that's exactly what it's talking about, is that anointing that comes from joy, and it strengthens when there is no strength. And then that just fires off. That'll just shoot you right back to Isaiah 39:40, Glenn, talking about the strength of God. And man, I certainly didn't think about getting into this, but I'm going to do it. Glory to God. I I receive my strength. Jesus is my strength. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I love you, Lord, O my strength. Thou hast girded me with strength. I go from strength to strength. The Lord Jesus is my strength. He makes my feet sure and fast like a deer and makes me walk upon the high places. A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge and lineage increases strength. On and on and on. I mean, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, I just gave you what, about eight? Counting these other two here.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. It's in there because He's in there. But you have to activate it and you have to go back to what you need to do to increase that strength. He's talking about here spiritual strength first. But to get it out of your spirit and get it over there in that body, you're going to have to put some pressure on the muscles and the bones and the ligaments and the nerves of the body. You're going to have to work it. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Smith Wigglesworth, the great apostle of faith, got up every morning. He took two things every morning. First thing, take communion and dance before the Lord at least 15 minutes.
Wow.
Every day. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he just kind of went like this. No, he referred to David, who danced with all his might. And I know you use the same tool, and I want you to talk about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, sometimes I have to wonder if I need to pad the rooms. Because when I'm in a spirit, you know, it's... You can make a decision to be in joy and to laugh when you don't feel like it. And so one of the exercises that I do at night is I get in at least 10 belly laughs a day. And all the stress is all built up from the day and all that, you know. And so I start off, ha, ha. Then ha, ha, ha. And then you get going. And I'll even criticize myself and I say, well, that sounds pretty lame. Come on. Right? That's pretty lame. But then I'll laugh because it sounded lame. And then I get over into this gusher. And now I'm in the spirit. And when I'm in the spirit, I mean, I am sailing. Just sailing. And so, I got to be cautious I don't fall and hit something.
Praise
and
God.
And it's wonderful. And then everything feels good. I'm, you know, my muscles are alive. My brain's alive. My awareness is alive. And I just feel stronger. So do that every
Brother Hagin would say, I feel good. I feel fine. Body, you get in line. Hallelujah.
Yeah, you know, and even in relationship, study looking at women who have breast cancer. And they found that when they have this cancer, they have the traditional therapy, it's radiation and chemotherapy. Well, they looked at a group that just had traditional therapy versus a group who had support. And they found with the social support to strengthen them that their outcomes were better as far as the cancer treatments, their quality of life and their length of life was better.
Praise God.
Yeah. So that's undergirding and strengthening of each other made a huge difference in that.
Now, when did you start, at a really young age, praising and worshiping like that? When did this revelation come to you?
Yeah. So became born again, been with Bishop and Keith Butler and Pastor Deborah Butler, Word of Faith. And so they taught us from the beginning about praying in the Spirit and spending time with the Lord. So early on, as a youngster, we'd pray in the Spirit, and you get slain in the Spirit. You'd be on your back. You know, so early on, that was just part of the teaching. So you had line upon line teaching, and then the Spirit and allowing the Lord to do what He needed to do or would do in your life, and you develop this joy. So as a child, you'd always want to be happy. Children laugh 300 belly laughs a day. Adults, after the age of 30, less than 10 belly laughs, usually for weeks.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, praying, and so you get happy back then, and so that was just a part of what we did from the time we were little.
That's good. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And with those relationships, it really made a difference. So relationship, we talk about the who we are. We're a spirit being. We live in a physical body. And we have the soul, mind, will, and emotion. So when you pray and when you have relationship, and especially when God's word is first, everything just goes right in the line. And so, you know, the undergirding and that strength that we talked about, you know, with relationship makes a huge difference. And that relationship is intrapersonal between the spirit man and the soul and the body, and then interpersonal between each other. And so it just makes such a difference. When someone that you love encourages you, that has an effect that goes straight to your frontal lobe in your brain, then from there to your hypothalamus, which is the master relay system that then releases chemicals that help to strengthen all the cells in your body. And so that encouragement and that touch and that, you know, that hug, you know, that handshake, no, it's okay, brother or sister, has a profound impact on a DNA level.
Praise God. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had an opportunity where you had a real an unexpected situation? I'm thinking about a situation now. This is number of years ago. And my niece, Gloria's brother's daughter, and my son, John, and his wife, Marty, and my little niece and her husband, the next day was the Southwest Believers Convention. This was on a Sunday evening, and they'd been down at the convention center, were getting everything ready, and they were so excited. Nikki was pregnant, and their first child, and they were so excited. Mm. And so they were coming home, and a drunk guy just broadsided them, and Nikki was killed. Mm. And then John called me that night and told me, well, man, it's like hitting me in the head with an axe. That sudden thing like that. Mm. And, of course, I shouted and cursed death just as loud as I could right then. I didn't know then what I know now, particularly about what we're talking about here. What an opportunity. We've been talking about, Keith Moore preached during the convention and so forth, we have victory over death. Now, what I'm thinking now, what just flashed across my heart, had I known to, instead of reacting like I did, to be trained to where I would react, just laugh just as hard as I can, and just dance before the Lord God. Thank you for victory over death. Hallelujah. Now, I quickly gained the victory over it because I knew to do that. And grief wasn't a part of our family and so forth and so on. But I was just thinking, what a weapon of power to immediately just begin laugh at the top of your voice. Have you ever had an opportunity to do that?
Yeah. So as a neurosurgeon, I operate on adults. In my training, I had to operate on children. And I have these little babies on the operating table, and my hand could rest on either side of the table when I'm operating.
Oh my.
And they're just that big. And I had a scenario where I was assisting one of my mentors, and a baby that couldn't have been days old had a brain tumor. And we operated, and we were 5-6 hours into surgery, and it would keep bleeding, and then we would cauterize, and it would bleed, and we'd cauterize, and then it died, the little baby. And first name was Mark. And we had to talk to the family. And so when that happened, when Mark died, you could see a change in, you know, the kind of the life went out of his eyes. And so at that moment, my heart really want to just drop.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord kind of lifted me up, and he said, it'll be all right, because he's with me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's with me. And I realized, wow, okay, let me get my act together, because he's going to be in a better place than where I'm at right now. And so that was a chance where I had to really seek the Lord and have some peace. And so joy quickly bubbled up in me. But now the challenge was, we had to put him on some life support and keep the heart beating, because that was getting ready to fail, and then go tell the family, and then let the family come in and see him. And that was just, it was overwhelming to go to the family and say, this is what happened. We had this, you know, the surgery, did everything that we could, and, you know, and now, you know, Mark's he's on his way out. He's obviously going to be with the Lord. And so we were able to have that conversation with the family, and it was a weird place to be, because on one end, me personally, I had the joy of the Lord, and that undergirded me and gave me strength for Mark. Knowing where he is, I could celebrate.
Yeah, sure.
But now I had to turn to the family who was grieving.
Yeah.
And had to have kind of some control about how we communicated with them to let them know that we cared, you know. And so that was a time.
My goodness. We have to know these things, and we have to develop them. This has to become a habit. It has to become a daily habit of joy, that whatever happens, joy is the next step. Yeah. Whatever takes place, joy is the next step. I had a little irritating thing happen to me this morning. It wasn't even worth talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about, right then I should have laughed. Instead of, well, you know, what? No, right then I should have laughed at the whole situation and then laughed at myself. And then it don't have to repent.
Yeah. You think we just take ourselves too seriously sometimes? And the situation, we put it out of, everything's kind of out of context sometimes, you know? Like, for instance, the weather. You know, people talk about how it's too hot, it's too cold. And to me, that's a subtle trick of the enemy to get you going that way, because now you're dependent on something that is as trivial as the weather.
Yeah.
And then you start to agree, yeah, that's right, horrible. Or it's too hot, versus, hey, wait a minute, it's awesome. I'm glad there's rain, because now there's going to be grass and we're going to have water we need. Or I'm glad it's sunny and it's warm, because now, so it's a decision that you make.
Well, what did you expect Texas in August to be? You expected to get up this morning at 75 degrees? Come on, what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 100 degrees around here.
Yeah.
And you can laugh at it.
Yeah.
Instead of, getting mad at the weather. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
We're getting there. We're learning. Yeah. I'm learning more out of this than anybody here. Glory to God.
Amen. And so, with the laughter, I mean, there's so much to laughter. We talked about when you anticipate laughter, what that does. It increases your blood pressure in a good sense for a short period, just like you're exercising.
I have to tell you this.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of this in so many years.
Yeah.
I was just in a time of prayer. Mm. And I've been praising the Lord for a few moments, for a good little bit. Just as plain. Well, in fact, let me tell you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I got two situations mixed up. I was on a platform, and people were just praising God all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying what they're doing, and I'm sitting there. And I heard this so plain. The Lord said, Kenneth, if it hadn't been for sin, I would have never had a serious thought.
Wow. Wow.
He's not serious.
Yeah.
He's not a serious being. He is joy personified.
Wow.
If it hadn't been for sin, and he's whipped it. Then it's not soon and very soon. We are going to see the King.
Amen.
And it's going to be over,
amen.
Doc. And you can get happy about that. Yeah. Glory to
amen.
God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you can be happier in the meantime, can't you?
You can.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How much time we got, Tim? Oh, we can do a lot in 4 minutes.
Okay. All right. So another piece that we learned in our research in terms of laughter is when you laugh, what it does is it can burn calories. So we talk about the parity between laughing and exercise and calories and fat and what have you. So 100 belly laughs a day can burn up to 50 calories. Okay. And that can affect your entire body. And it's the easy way, right? And so again, that laughter and the exercise, they go hand in hand, but we think it's exercise is a hard thing. Maybe because we weren't on a team when we were in high school, but that's a mindset. So now we're moving from the physical back over to the soul, mind, will, and emotion. Is if you develop that mindset in swimming or in some habit that's a good habit, then that pours over to your physical, and then it pours over to your spirit, because now you have that self-discipline. Yeah. Just like it takes to get up, like you had mentioned, at 5:30 to pray in the spirit and to seek the Lord. Well, some people might say that's a lot of work, but that can be just a fun time in the Lord.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if you think about it, I just feel like I just want to laugh today. So I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to open the Word and just start and just have a party for a couple hours. We want to party on a Thursday or Friday and with friends and what have you, and it's good to be around people. But we can do that every single day whenever we want. We can just tickle ourselves, you know, in the Lord. So then your spirit gets built up. Your soul is strong, because then you make a decision. You say, I'm going to do this again tomorrow. And then you start to be stronger in your choices and your decision and your resolve. And now that translates into the physical, physical body. Hey, if I can spend time in the Word and get up at 5 o'clock, I can sure enough exercise.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to exercise. And so now that becomes easy, and it's no longer this hard, you know, I got to go to the gym and I've got to do all these things, all these excuses. Mm-hmm. So they all, again, go, they work together.
Now, you have proven that you don't need a gymnasium to exercise.
Right. Yep.
You're going to have to tell some stories.
Yes, sir.
You still got to have 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Tell one good exercise story.
All right. So one of the things that I do just is I do jumping jacks for 10 minutes and get major cardio. It's good for my lymphatic system. And then I'll do planks. Yeah. And because I heard you talk about planks, I said, I've got to, you know, Brother Copeland does a 3-minute plank. And here I am. I'm way back here at 1 minute. I got to really work on building. But then I built my core up. I have my stamina. And then it has this DNA, it affects me at a DNA level. Well, what's interesting is that when you're exercising, the effect that it has on your DNA and the effect that it has on your mood and even the dopamine levels in your brain all increase. And then that leads to a level of joy that you have. Like when you're sore when you exercise, you're kind of a little giddy, even though you're sore. It's almost like it's an oxy, you know, you shouldn't be sore and be happy. Normally you think you'd be sore and you'd be upset. But it has this effect. So exercise is wonderful. And there's a study looking at the cardiovascular risks that we have when we have a sedentary lifestyle. So what that is that if you just stand for 6 to 8 hours or sit for 6 to 8 hours at work, your risk of having a stroke or heart attack is pretty high. If you exercise for between 200 minutes and 300 minutes per week, so that's about 45 minutes to roughly an hour a day, then you completely reverse the effects of being sedentary and sitting for that 6 to 8 hours at work.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
And you develop it. I noticed this. As you develop, and it didn't take very long because you're committed now and your confession's going right. I love this. And you say that before you feel the love. Mm-hmm. And as you develop your faith, I notice this. It doesn't take very long. You get up feeling, well, I don't think I'll exercise today. And you think, well, yeah, maybe I better get in there. I need to get in there a few minutes. You won't. You get to what you do not want to do without it, even though you don't feel like doing it. Yeah. Amen. We're out of time. My. Whoa. Dr. Avery Jackson, I got to say thank you, brother. Praise God. We're going to do this all week next week. Praise God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hey, Jeremy.
Thank you, sir. Now, we're learning more and more how the power of the joy of the Lord is, in fact, our strength. And laughter not only protects our bodies, but it also burns calories. Encouragement strengthens our cells. Dancing can reverse the effects of a sedentary lifestyle. And as Brother Copeland and Dr. Jackson are teaching these things, we want you to begin to develop a routine of following God's way to treat your mind and your body.
You are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, made in the image of God. Your health is connected to all three parts, not just your physical body. In his book, The God Prescription, Dr. Avery Jackson III, a respected and experienced neurosurgeon, shares an approach to health that addresses the spirit-mind-body connection. As Chief Executive Officer and Medical Director of Michigan Neurological Institute, Dr. Jackson has years of study and experience in the field of neurosurgery. He shares how the Father's love for us is so great, He purposefully has equipped us with tools to protect and keep us healthy. Diseases such as cancer, stroke, autoimmunity, and depression can be addressed through forgiveness, studying the Word of God, exercise, and a healthy relationship with others. Discover the connection between laughter and your immune system and how science is proving scriptures such as "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Be equipped with God's prescription so you can walk in wholeness. Order Dr. Avery Jackson's book, The God Prescription, at a special price of $12.99 on our website, kcm.org/tvspecial, or call 800-600-7395. Shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. Understand how God built the human body to repair itself. God has a plan for your spiritual, mental, and physical health. Uncover life-changing concepts of healing.
If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today is the day of your salvation. You may be watching this broadcast. You're born again. You're full of the Holy Ghost, and that's wonderful. But there may be somebody watching right now who's never prayed this simple prayer to make Jesus their Lord and Jesus their Savior. And if that's you, then I want you to stop right now what you're doing and pray this prayer out loud with me. Just believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord. He died in my place. He rose again for me. He lives for me. And Jesus, I want to live for you. Today, I am a new creation in you. Take my life, Lord Jesus. Do something with it and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you are born again. Your new life starts right now, today. And all of heaven rejoices. Why? Because you came home. Because you are back in your Father's house. And everybody here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries gets pretty excited about it too. And we want to hear from you because we've got a gift for you. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. This book's going to just help you find out more about who you are in Jesus, who Jesus is in you. And when you order this book, we're going to send you a couple little brochures that just help you simply learn how to read, how to understand your Bible. We want this to be a free gift to you. It's free. All you have to do is let us know you want it. Go to kcm.org, order yours today. We'll get it right out to you.